Hi, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 11th. I'm Alan Chartok. Less than a month before Election Day, Donald Trump is battling to keep Republicans in line. Trump has been issuing a series of tweets lashing out at House Speaker Paul Ryan for effectively abandoning his campaign. Trump complained that Democrats are far more loyal to each other than the Republicans, then declared that the shackles have been taken off of him. The GOP presidential candidate says a 2005 video in which he brags about how his fame allowed him to do anything to women was just locker room talk. At Sunday's presidential debate in St. Louis, Trump said he's never kissed and grabbed women without their consent. Trump also accused Democratic rival Hillary Clinton of attacking women involved in Bill Clinton's extramarital affairs. A lot's been said in the video and the debate. Now it's your turn. Now, 1-800-348-2551. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMZ's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok, assisted by Ray Graff. Donald Trump's candidacy has long exposed divisions within the Republican Party, but GOP leaders appear to be failing in attempts to hold off an all-out split, at least until after the election. House Speaker Paul Ryan effectively abandoned Trump on Monday, telling fellow lawmakers he would neither campaign nor defend the floundering businessman in the election's closing weeks. Meanwhile, the head of the Republican National Committee, Rince Priebus, says he's in full coordination with the battle presidential nominee. 40 Republican senators and congressmen have revoked their support for Trump, and nearly 30 of them have called on him to quit the race. Fewer enthusiastic supporters to begin with, but the last straw was a video of Trump using predatory language to describe his approach to women. Trump and Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton debated for the second time on Sunday night. The pair shook hands after it ended, but the debate was especially icy at the outset, replete with talk of sexual impropriety and Trump threatening to jail Clinton over her erased emails, and the number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. A couple of rules, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting a little bit tense right now. So here are some of the rules for the show today. One, don't be cute. What I mean by that is, you know, don't say I'm going to sing you a song about Trump and stuff. That doesn't help. So you know, make your point, make it as an adult, and we'll listen. Don't be uncivil. Civility is what we're looking for here. So if you do that, that's great. Now, there are three people on the phone, four on the phone. Do I have five? Four on the phone. Do I have five? 1-800-323-9262. And we got a Don in Oneonta. Don in Oneonta, yes, you're on. Hello, Don, you're on.
Yes, hello, Alan. Yeah. Hi. Well, listen, I was a reporter in New York City for 30 years, and
whoa,
I covered Trump many times.
Who'd you work for?
And, well, several people. I worked for WNYC.
Wow.
And I worked for Bloomberg News and others.
Wow, great. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
So, you know, Trump has kind of been bragging about his negotiating style. And one day I saw him in action negotiating with Henry Stern. And you might remember Henry Stern.
Oh, I
do. He was a longtime Parks Commissioner.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Trump was giving a speech at in a penthouse for a bank on Park Avenue.
Yeah.
And on the way down from the event,
yeah,
Henry Stern, Donald Trump, Trump's girlfriend du jour, who was very young, probably in her mid-20s.
That's a French name, right?
And I... What's that?
That's a French name, right? Du jour? No, go ahead.
And I got in the elevator. It was just the four, yeah, of us, and we were coming down. Trump, it turns out Stern had the ability to name a plant after anybody. Trump wanted Stern to name a plant after his girlfriend.
Right.
Stern was willing, but he wanted Trump to make improvements at Wallman Rink, the ice skating rink in,
right,
Central Park that,
right,
Trump controls.
Yes.
And so Stern wouldn't budge. Trump is screaming at the top of his lungs, and he got right in Stern's face. And he's demanding that the Parks Commissioner name this plant after his girlfriend. And at the end, Stern wouldn't do it. He didn't get what he wanted, and Trump went away empty-handed.
Wow. And how do we get to see this now? There was a camera or something that allowed
us
to...
No, it was just the four of us
in
the elevator.
Yeah.
I was there.
Interesting.
So if you remember, Trump always brags about, you know, it's going to be one meeting between Trump and the president of Mexico, and he'd have a wall built and make the Mexicans pay for it.
Yep.
Well, my experience is Trump is not that good a negotiator.
Well, that's so interesting. Stern was a tough guy. I remember him pretty well.
A very good parks commissioner.
So some people thought. Hey, Don, thank you very much for that insight. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye. Okay, and now we've got a Spirula on the thruway. Spirula, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
What I don't understand about the Republicans is, honestly, it took you this long to realize that Trump maybe wasn't a good guy. It's because you have mothers and daughters and wives that you revere.
Well, you think they didn't know that from the very beginning? That's why there were 16 guys up there. I think they all knew it.
I think they all knew it. I think they didn't have the ethics or the fortitude to say, no, this is not our standard bearer.
Well, they tried. Well, you had Bush saying tough things about him, Marco Rubio saying tough things about him. They certainly tried, some of them did, to no effect whatsoever.
Well, honestly, this is basically their Southern strategy coming back to roost.
Yeah, it is. No question. You know what's so interesting is if you look at the numbers, his numbers have not budged, right? His numbers have not budged. Now Hillary called them Hillary called them a basket of deplorables, and I think she suffered because she said that. But that number has not moved, and that's what defeated all the others, and got Trump selected.
His supporters are rabid. I have yet to find a Trump supporter where I could actually in any way discuss facts.
Well, yeah, but
if there
you know,
is one out there, I'd love to find them.
But they're probably saying the same thing about you, Spirula. Don't you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
Hey, probably.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right. So 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Three people on phone. As you see, it goes fast, and then you'll be up. Okay, let's go to Lisa in Woodstock. All right, Lisa.
Alan. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm a little nervous here. I'm nervous about the lockbox getting it filled, so that we're getting closer and closer and closer, really close now.
You'll make it. Definitely make it.
Well, with your help,
I just want to say something a little bit different. I think that Hillary just kind of gets a free ride. I noted during the debate that, as much as I despise Trump, he had so many true things to say about Hillary Clinton, and somehow it doesn't seem to be registering with people that she mishandled classified information.
Well, she said she didn't leak all those emails
after they were deleted.
Well, Lisa, she admitted that she did it. In other words, I think she said I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. To me, I have a friend who is always on my case that Hillary hasn't done anything wrong. Everybody else did it, all the rest of that stuff. No, she said she did the wrong thing. Yeah.
Well, she said she's done the wrong thing about some things, but during the debate, she said all these things were lies that Trump was mentioning. And it's true that the DNC was trying to make sure that she won and not Bernie Sanders, and that four DNC staffers had to resign right before the convention. I just think people forget a lot. And Hillary Clinton's, more of the emails have come out from WikiLeaks, and she admits that she has private versus public positions.
Well, how unusual for any politician, right, Lisa? I mean, you know, people, if you were in politics, you'd probably be saying something to your top advisors, trying to work things out and having a different position than you might have publicly.
Well, I guess so. I just want to say that, you know, I don't feel that way about Bernie Sanders, and I don't feel that way about Jill Stein. So, you know, people should support whoever they want to support, but at least, you know who you are. Know what they stand for.
Well, but even in those cases, you don't know if they think one thing and say another because they can't. I mean, I don't want to be unfair to you here, but don't you think that's a possibility that almost everybody in every business everywhere has a public and a private position? There's some things you just don't want to put out in public?
A little bit, but not to the extent that basically, you know, just being a liar, like saying I'm against the TPP, but knowing very darn well that she's for it.
Okay, one other thing, so, and then we got a lot of people lined up. But one other thing. One other thing. Don't you think that she's in a position now where it's hers to lose? You know, if she messes.
Yes, I do think. I think she will win. I think that, you know, if you're not in a swing state, I do believe that she's way ahead. I don't think we have to worry about her winning.
But, I'm worried.
You know, for somebody. Some progressives like me, let's vote for the person whose values we believe in to give at least a show that we don't support this candidate.
Well,
at least I don't support her.
Well, I respect you for what you're saying, really, but I don't agree with you because, you know, I think that because those people, not in New York State probably, but in other places, you say, I'm going to write in Bernie or I'm going to do Jill Stein. That's why she's only got 2, maybe 3% of the votes, because people know that it's basically a wasted vote. I mean, you know, your choices are between Hillary and Trump.
Well, I don't see it that way. Of course, it has become that way because, and I'm sure it's mostly Hillary who, you know, wants to keep these other national candidates off the debate stage.
Okay.
You know, luckily they are online. They have been able Jill Stein has been able to take part in the debates through Democracy Now. But of course, all of a sudden they had technical difficulties the other night.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, so, got to let you go. I'm up against the break. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to be waiting to talk to Bruce and Gene and John and Fred and Doe and Cliff and Kate when we come back in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years, CandHArchitects.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The-gazebo.com. Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, celebrating 25 years of preserving the Victorian mansion with gardens, wraparound porches, Romanesque pool, fountains, and more, uniongables.com. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV, albany.clipcentric.com. And Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building, a net zero energy, net zero water teaching center for all ages, tours bi-monthly, hitchcockcenter.org.
All right, we go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce, you're on.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you've been saying, on the early morning show, the round table, that it's basically going to come down to turnout. And I think pretty much that she has it, unless something very crazy happens, including the weather. Hopefully she's good, and it looks like she can take the Senate with her. And maybe even the House. I would like that because I think they could get some decent legislation passed, especially the free college tuition. What is it for those under $150,000, like the public colleges?
I'm certainly for it. I thought it was $100,000, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's $150,000.
Yeah, because you know people forget, but. Basically, the middle class was established because of the GI Bill. And today, college costs are so high that it's getting out of reach for the middle class. So this would be great, as well as other legislation. However, my question is, I'm very concerned about what's going to happen after the election.
Yep,
after the election, especially, you know, she wins.
Well, what do you think might happen? What do you think might happen, Bruce?
Well, I think Trump has opened the door and encouraged the violent right. So I don't know. And then also, and this is a leap away, I'm very concerned about what's going to happen between our country and Russia. Basically, I think World War III began several years ago in the Mideast. I think Nostradamus has a reference to that, although he talks about the Antichrist.
Okay,
but Bruce,
you got to sum up. You got to sum up because we have a lot of people behind you. Go ahead.
Well, I would like you and your guest and on the roundtable in the future to talk more about what you think could happen after the election.
Well, I've been talking about it, and I got beat up this very morning. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think she'll probably win. The New York Times, who has gone full out, and others, to make sure that she wins, and for good reason, in my opinion, will start to really beat up on Hillary. That's what I think is going to happen. It depends on what her cabinet looks like, who they are. We really don't know yet. Hey, Bruce, I got to let you go. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Gene in Peru. All right. Gene in Peru, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, Alan.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Alan. Alan, I got to ask you this. You know, I listen to you all the time. I think you're brilliant, and everybody on the roundtable and WAMC. But I got to ask you this one question. In your opinion, or maybe not your opinion, but who, you know, I understand what Trump said 11 years ago. It wasn't good. It was in bad taste. Let's face it. But do you think it was worse than Whitewater?
Well, I don't really know about Whitewater. Whitewater was thoroughly investigated, Gene. All I can tell you is what I know, and I don't know any more about that. I do think that the Clintons have in the past had a certain amount of, let's just say, arrogance. I mean, you don't do what Bill did in the office without, with Monica and the rest of that stuff, without a certain amount of arrogance. I do hope that Hillary is different from Bill. And that this is not going to carry over to her administration. But I do think they have to watch out for that. And while I don't really know what happened in Whitewater, I just know what I read, I simply hope that their characters, especially Hillary's, will allow her to really put the kibosh to any instincts to play it cozy. That's all. But I do think it's I think it's a character issue.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alan. I hate to say this, but I think we're in trouble.
Well,
you know, I mean,
they better watch it. They better watch
it. Yeah, at least. At least with Trump, you just about know because he's always saying what he's going to do. I don't know.
Well, I certainly don't agree with that part of it. I mean,
you may be right. I'm just a little afraid, that's all.
Well, I think you have every right to be afraid for all of the things we've been talking about. Thank you very much. All right, now we're going to go to John in Fishkill. Okay, John in Fishkill, you're on. Hey, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hey.
Hello.
Go.
All right. Why does everybody ask you how you're doing? I'm pretty sure you're doing all right.
No, I think I'm doing all right, except that they think I'm old. So they say, how are you doing? You know, maybe you're not.
They're just calling to check in on you. Make sure you're still all right. Still hanging in there.
Right.
Are you familiar with the Forbidden Planet?
I'm not. Sorry.
Sci-fi 1950 science fiction films loosely based on The Tempest by Shakespeare.
Yeah.
There's a mad scientist who kind of has his own little repression regime, and he eventually a creature, an invisible, originally invisible creature, is unleashed from the id. From his id, and I feel like anybody who's listening probably knows about the movie. I feel like Donald Trump is kind of like the collective id of the Republican Party, whether they want to admit it or not. The things that he does and says and his attitude.
So, in terms of Freudian psychology, the id. You want to define that for us?
Sure. I mean, I'm not an expert, although I am a psych student. But it's it translates into the unbridled, uncensored, unfiltered. entity of our desires. And, you know, not necessarily in a positive way. It's a kind of a mix of it all. So the Trump persona, you know, all the misogynistic, totalitarian, et cetera, things that he puts out there, they're not new. He didn't invent them, and he's not a pioneer or a maverick of any of that.
Yeah, but he's the first guy. Yeah, but he's the first guy who's run for president looking like this and sounding like this. I mean, I don't.
Sure. But we live in unique times, Alan. We live in very, very unique times. We're at the brink of ecological disaster. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of war happening constantly. So I feel that, you know, back to just Trump and whether everything he says is so improprietous. Now, you know, I've said things that taken out of context would be considered pretty terrible, even worse than the things that he said.
You're not running for president. You're not running for president.
I'm not. Sure. I'm just saying that what we're focusing on is you know, we want to be able to say these things about him because it personifies this you know, this enemy and this thing that we want to get rid of. But it's been there and it's going to be there in our society. And the other thing I want to say, Al, is you know, I'd love to see a woman in the White House. But if it's Margaret Thatcher or Madeleine Albright, then I'm not going to be satisfied. And I'd rather have Margaret Atwood than Margaret Thatcher.
Okay. You've had your time, and we appreciate your calling because there's a lot behind you. Thanks very much, John. Okay, let's go to Fred in Clifton Park. Okay, number 7. Fred, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that for years, I had never thought it really mattered much who got elected president. And I was not a very outgoing person, but in 2012, I was scared of Mitt Romney getting elected. I got out of my comfort zone and I got involved in the Obama campaign.
Yep.
I set up my office for phone banks every weekend. And I went out and met people and talked, told them what I thought. And I think it's an African saying that says, when you pray, move your feet. Don't just sit around hoping or discussing among the choir the bad things about Trump, but do something, get out and get involved. You can go to HillaryClinton.com, look at the top of the screen, look on more. You can find events in your area. You can do phone banks. You can help out with data entry. There's many things that can be done to help the campaign. Because I would kick myself if I didn't get involved and she lost.
Yep.
I've never been in love with her, yeah. I will admit, but I'm scared of the alternative.
Yeah, I have a friend who's going to Iowa doing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just urge people who are listening to not just discuss among themselves, you know, the issues, but to actually do something to get it to come out the way we want.
Fred, you make a point. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Doe in Wendell, Massachusetts. Doe, you're on. Hello, Doe. Though you made a mistake. You kept your radio on. That's against the rules. You have to keep your ear to the phone. Forget about the radio. Though I'm going to count to 3, like we do with our little grandchild. And when that's over, that's over. 1.
Hello, Alan.
Okay,
I,
now, you broke the rule, though. You shouldn't do that.
What?
You
know, I broke what rule?
You were listening on the radio, and you can't do
that. I had to because I'm making cookies, and I had to be near the oven.
Well, I'm so sorry.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to break any more rules.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to put it out that it's no news that what Trump is acting like Trump. And I think anybody that's going to vote for Trump, they don't care. But the Republicans have really jumped on this as a way to a hook to get him out of there.
Well, yeah, look, there are a lot of angry Republicans because many of them thought that they should be the president of the United States. Nevertheless, though, one of the more interesting parts of all of this is that they are caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, a lot of people voted for Trump, and they are not going to forgive these guys if they go off the reservation and say Trump shouldn't be president of the United States, or I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, which some have done, or I'm voting for somebody else. This is, of course, this could be the potential death knell for the Republican Party, which I doubt, but it could also mean a hell of a change. I'll bet they changed the rules real fast.
Well, I think it's about time that they got cleaned up. You know, I used to like them when I was young. And but now I've been a Democrat for several years. And I can vote in any primary because I'm I'm not registered to any particular party.
Me too.
But I have gotten disappointed in the Republican Party for the last 20 years. So now I'm thinking that, you know, any hot felt Republicans, they don't mind what he does as long as he gets the little things done that they want to see done, like keeping foreigners out from things. They're very isolationist. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, I don't agree with that.
Okay, Doe, listen, I appreciate that call very much. As I say, there are a lot of people who want to check in today. Appreciate it, and we'll enjoy those cookies. And next time, don't listen on the radio because there's a seven-second delay. That's what the problem is. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And let's now go to Jim in Malta. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
Now, it's interesting. I'm kind of in the middle of this Trump thing with Republicans in New York State.
Sure.
My state senator, who's retiring, I've been trying to get an answer as to what his position is on Donald Trump.
Who's your state senator? You mean Farley and now Tedesco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I asked first before he announced his retirement, because I heard on the roundtable one morning, you talked about the fact that New York State Republican Party said they would endorse Trump if he gets the nomination.
Right.
So I called Farley's office to find out if he supports that position. They wouldn't ask. They wouldn't answer.
Right.
I called back. We still don't know. And then he says, we'll call you back when he finally decides.
Listen, I wouldn't want to be him. I wouldn't want to be any of those Republicans. They're in a bad spot.
I called back after he retired, announced his retirement. I said, has he made a decision? They wouldn't say. Today, I have someone new running to replace Farley Tedesco's office.
Yeah.
I called him to find out what is his position on Trump.
Yeah.
And I spoke to his office manager. Instead of answering the question, he gave me the hook, line, and sinker attack against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, if I wanted a song and dance, I could go to a Broadway musical. Just tell me, does Tedesco support Trump? Wouldn't answer and hung up on me.
Exactly. Well, Jim,
so they're,
you know why they're worried. You know why they're doing it. Yeah, you know why they're doing it.
Just a final thing. I heard something the other day.
Yep.
The governor of Kentucky, a Republican, said if Trump loses, there'll be blood.
I heard
that. Pretty scary.
You know, I heard that. That would be terrible. I mean, that would be terrible. But I'll tell you, you know, he's sort of setting that up now, and that's awful. Okay, thank you.
If I can only get my my son will vote. Not forget my two daughters. They were inspired to vote for Obama, but they're very blasé about this time around. But so it's going to be an effort. But I'll try.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Right. We'll go to Patricia in Hudson Falls, New York. All right, Patricia, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
The question is, what influence does George Soros have on politics?
I don't know. He gives a lot of money.
Who does he influence?
I don't know. I mean, he gives a lot of money to campaigns. Unlike some other people, I think his heart is in the right place. He gives the money. But I don't know what the import of your question is. If you say to me, what is he getting back for it, I couldn't tell you.
Does he influence the media?
I don't know.
Okay. Very political answer. Thank you.
Well, no, it's not a political answer. I'm not an ignoramus. And when I don't know, I try to tell you I don't know. I'm not trying to be political with you. I'm telling you he gives a lot.
He's well hidden. George Soros keeps well hidden.
Well, not well hidden enough so that he doesn't give the money to candidates that he supports. But
okay.
if you ask me specifically what he gets back for it, I can't tell you because I don't know. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Now we're going to go to Kate, who has been patiently hanging on. Kate, you're on.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have been patient, but I think the previous call just kind of stole my thunder. And what it is the whole Republican Party thing, because I watched the two debates, the first one and the second one, And not that I'm a Trump supporter at all, because, you know, it's hard to pick a candidate, but I won't be Trump. But it's politics as usual. But the people that really are to blame is the Republican Party. Like people said before me, we all knew what Trump was. We all know what he is. Has he done some illegal things? Who knows? Everybody knew what he was. But the Republican Party, 8 years ago, you know, a flag went up. We need to change. And they didn't. They didn't change.
Change to what?
Well, they refuse to look at the demographics and how the country is changing.
That's true.
And they want status quo, and it's true. And what Trump says is true. And another thing about Trump, not that I'm endorsing him, but he put a rubber stamp. Like, we all knew that the rich don't pay taxes. We just didn't know what extent the rich don't pay. I mean, he has been like a leak in the Republican Party or the whole establishment. You know, he confirms the endorsements of sponsors and then rich not paying their taxes. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, if anything, he has played a part in this, and a very important part in the Republican Party, that, you know, this is what happens if you're not able to change.
Well, wait a second. Are you telling me that you are endorsing basically what Trump has done to challenge the values of the Republican
Party? No, not at all. But I'm saying the Republican Party, because they didn't rise to the occasion. They can't change. Establishment stays the same. And that's why people are so angry. I'm just saying Trump just kind of amplified everything people suspected about the establishment and what's going on behind closed doors.
Okay, I hear you. And there are a lot of people behind you. And Kate, I thank you for your patience again, and I thank you for calling. All right, now I'm looking at the official thing here for who's been hanging around longest. And now it turns out it's Jonathan in Albany. Jonathan in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I've recently come across an article from Snopes.com, so, you know, take that for what it is.
I don't know what it is.
It's alleged. Sorry?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
In which it's alleged that there is a woman, her name is Katie Johnson, who has filed a lawsuit against Trump alleging that when she was 13 years old, she was raped.
Yeah, well, look, I don't want to put that on this program because I have not read it in a reputable news source, number one. And I think anybody can make any accusation at all. I don't want to use the program for that. But, Jonathan, thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Derek in Albany. All right, Derek, you're on. You're on, Derek.
Hey, good afternoon. Two questions. One, do you feel that this election cycle would have been the election cycle for a third party candidate to actually take advantage of the situation? Like, do you think that you know, back in, I don't know when it was, I was a kid, but Ross Perot kind of pushed through. I mean, I'm kind of feeling like this would have been the opportunity, and unfortunately it isn't going to happen. And I feel for the folks that are frustrated and want to put their vote out somewhere else because their feelings about either candidate. But I'm just curious,
the question again is what do I think? What
do you think that this would have been the year for a third party candidate to actually, and I'm referring to Bernie.
I guess
my question is, should Bernie have run as an independent?
No.
Because
if Bernie had run as an independent, Derek, what would have happened is that Trump would have won because it would have split the party. No question. I think Nader cost Gore the election, to be honest with you. Hey, Derek, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Mo in. Wait. Before we go there, we have to take a short break. Sorry. Thank you, Zach.
Support for WAMC comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Union College Concert Series, presenting the Belcha String Quartet, performing works by Schubert and Shostakovich en route to their Carnegie Hall concert, Sunday, October 16th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-Home.net. And TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus. Two locations, Route 9 in Hadley and Route 202 in South Hadley, providing tool and equipment rentals for homeowners and contractors. TJ'sTaylorRental.com.
And we are back on the Vox Pop. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for everything you're doing today. I love these calls. The lockbox is now at $329, $163.87. I don't know where the 87 cents came from. But we need $70,836.13 to get to the $400,000 mark to get our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend Jane Kane's $10,000 if we could get there. She's a friend, and she is doing it because she really wants us to succeed. So let's all help her out. Look, we have today, or what's left of today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, about 5 days to get that $70,000. We've been raising, during the fund drive, about $100,000 a day. So on its face, it would be all right. But you know what? You can't assume anything's going to happen. You can't assume Donald Trump is not going to be the president of the United States. You really can't. You cannot assume anything here. But we, in order to do what we do here, and I think do well, including everything that you're doing right now and calling, we need you to get into the WAMC.org and say, here's mine. Whether it's $5 or $1,000, we've seen it all in this drive. But if you sit back, it ain't going to happen. And then you might have a radio station, but it'll be a very different kind of radio station, I can assure you. Again, $329, $163, and 87 cents in the lockbox. We've got to get to that $400,000 mark, and I need you to do everything you can now. I'm truly nervous about that. Okay, where were we when we left? We were going to go to Mo in Cherry Valley on line number 4. Mo, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to respond partly to one of the other callers who talked about the tape that was released with Trump saying all those lewd things, and he called it bad taste, and I just would object to that.
Yeah, I got it.
I would call it describing sexual assault and bragging about sexual assault, and I don't think that's normal behavior or normal locker room talk. And if Hillary was caught saying anything, even slightly near that kind of lewd, awful thing, that would be it. There's just a double standard here, completely. And the man makes my skin crawl.
Okay.
And I think women, I know there are women that support him, but if you do, I would just really question where that's coming from. I think it's coming from fear, in my opinion, that he just promotes fear of ISIS, fear of everything.
I don't get it, Mo. Hold on, because you just said something that I'm fascinated by. If a woman votes for him, you don't get it, and you think that it's motivated by fear. Fear of what?
I think that this is my feeling, and I have a couple of friends who are going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And
women friends.
I think. No.
Okay. Because I'm particularly interested in what you just said about women who vote for Trump. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that there are the people. Well, I don't want to generalize, but I'd say that his campaign has been so fear-based that he's created this vision of America as this fearful, horrible place, and ISIS, and how he's going to be the big, strong. Mike Pence used the words. Broad-shouldered all the time.
But do you think women, I'm sorry for coming back to this.
Well, yeah, I think that women fall for that. They think they need a big, strong man. I mean, I don't want to generalize, but I think it's the only reason I can't possibly conceive that a woman would. I can't understand it in any other way, you know. So.
Well, Mo, you've added a great deal to the discussion, and I thank you for calling. All right, now we're going to go to Ron in Hyde Park. All right, Ron, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Alan. Sure. There's a couple of things. You know, people have to realize, let me just preface this by saying I have no horse in this race. I find both Hillary and Trump as despicable as can be. That said, there are a number of things that I'd like to say. First, I think that this whole voting for the lesser of the two evils is really a specious argument, only because if Trump gets in, I don't think whether the legislature is dominated by the Republicans or the Democrats, if they're going to cooperate with him on any radical legislation. If Hillary gets in, being part of the establishment, I'm sure there will be some legislation that will pass. Second, I don't understand how you guys, and I think if I read you correctly, you were a Bernie supporter, can support Hillary knowing what the DNC did to Bernie. I find that, circumventing the democratic process, and yet all my friends are like, yeah, we wanted Bernie, but I don't understand how you can throw your vote.
Well, because unlike you, Nick, they don't have practice what we call. They don't practice what we call false equivalency. They don't say they're both terrible and therefore it's equal. We're going to vote for a third party. They think Trump is much worse than Hillary. That's why they say that to you. Maybe they don't like Hillary. Lots of polls indicate people don't. Nevertheless, we know where people are going right now in terms of diversity in this country. The fact that, we know that white males are the object of what Trump has been looking for. Unlike the last caller who said she knows women who are voting for Trump, I don't. African-Americans and Muslims. I don't think you can say they're both bad, so I'm going to vote for somebody else. I think, you have to make choices in this life.
Well, you alluded to my next statement, which is, regardless of Trump winning or not, people have to understand we are a house divided. I mean, there are tens of millions of people
who
support Trump.
And we have been since the Civil War. I got news for you. I mean, what you
really?
Are...
You believe that?
I do. I do. I think that that part of what Trump says when he goes police, or stop and frisk, or the rest of it, he knows what he's saying, and he knows what he's trying to do here.
And he's pandering to the masses, and that we're going to end up in a civil war.
No, I didn't say that. I simply said that we are living on the cusp of what happened in the Civil War. We freed the slaves in this country. And as a result, the South, and, Lyndon Johnson made sure of that with his speeches and the rest of it, the South has gone the other way. They're never going to come back unless what is happening in Georgia starts to happen all over, which is a new generation, young people, millennials. They say, enough of this garbage. I see it going on. My son is in New Orleans. They're taking down statues of Civil War heroes, of Southern Civil War heroes for the first time. No, I think there are choices to be made, Nick. I hear you. I know what your concerns are, but there are choices to be made. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay. Well, I guess that wasn't Nick, was it? Who was that? Anyway, whatever. Let's go to... we are now going to go... Andrea in Fort Plain. All right, Andrea, you're on. Andrea? Hello, Andrea, are you there? Uh-oh. I think something bad has happened here. Andrea, I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm going to press this one more time. Andrea, are you there? No, she is not there in Fort Plain. All right, sorry about that. All right, now we'll go to Pete in Albany. All right, Pete, are you there? Hi, Pete. Pete?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I want to just... Good. I just wanted to bring up a little comment. What I was quite disappointed in was I'm basically a Democrat. I'm going to vote for Hillary. I'm not crazy about her, as most people are not. But I was very disappointed in Kane... in his performance at the debate, not the content, but the demeanor. For him to have not been told to not imitate the Trump demeanor and his interrupting, he was quite rude, really. And I really was disappointed that he was not coached to be anything but that.
Would you be surprised? Would you be surprised, Pete, if he was coached to do exactly the opposite? To be the hitman?
If he was, you know, rudeness doesn't really fit in even with toughness, you know, in my mind.
Well,
and so for him to act a little Trump-like, if he was coached that way, I think they made a mistake.
Okay.
But hopefully it didn't draw, you know, content-wise, fine. I hope he didn't draw too much from the Democratic campaign, but that's my comment.
On the contrary, Pete, the people who were, you know, being polled on it said he won the debate.
Well, they say he won the debate?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it both ways. I content-wise, you know, and the way, you know, avoided direct questions on Trump and everything, you know, he might have got some points for not falling into the trap, but he certainly was not a good defender of the ticket. I don't know who won the debate, but again, I'm just disappointed. Do you believe he was coached to be the tough guy, and
yes,
even to the extreme he did that?
Yes,
yeah, all right.
Yes, I do. I mean, hey, Pete, I got to go. We're almost out of time. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Chris. All right. Chris, you're on. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. Do you think the Republicans are going to move to a superdelegate system?
Yes. I think they are going. I think
Trump
they are going to meet. If Trump loses, and if they lose the House of Representatives, which I still think is iffy, but if they win the Senate, they lose the House. If they lose the Senate, lose the House, or and Trump really fouls out. I think that the establishment guys will meet and they'll start things like superdelegates. That's right. And that's how we got superdelegates in the Democratic Party, too.
Well, it worked against Bernie. I guess it'll work against the next Donald, huh?
I don't know. As you know, I was a Bernie supporter. I thought Bernie was great.
Me too.
I think Bernie's great now. But for my fellow Bernie supporters who are saying, you know, I can't support Hillary under any circumstance whatsoever, I don't think they have the slight. I think they need to get Murine to keep the earwax out of their ears because, you know, it's more than I can understand. Okay, Chris, thank you very much.
Can I ask a real quick follow-up?
Yeah.
Do you think, how much of Bernie's platform do you think is going to get implemented? You know, I know he's going to be standing next to Hillary, you know, metaphorically speaking, you know, in her ear saying, look it, remember TPP, remember single payer, all that. Do you think that has a shot at all?
Yes, I do. I think there's something. I think there's something she cannot turn around on. I think some of the things like the college education, which she gets from him, I think things like the, you know, like the trade pacts, I think she got a clear message. And if she messes up, she'll be a one-term president. So I don't see that happening. Chris, thank you for calling. All right. Okay, maybe we can take one more call here. Ernesto. All right. Ernesto, you're on. You only got a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first I want to tell you that I'm one of those people that was undecided until I watched those debates. So while all the pundits said it wasn't going to make a difference, it did for me. I was a huge Bernie supporter. I did a lot of work for him.
Yeah.
But, and this is all comes because of something I learned on your show years ago. Much, if not most, of what occurs during a president's term is unpredictable. So you need to have somebody who's going to react the correct way. And while Hillary has got flaws as well, I'd rather know her flaws, because I agree with you, she's going to get elected, but she's going to watch her back, as opposed to somebody who is completely unpredictable like Donald Trump.
I agree.
He is a loose cannon. He is dangerous. So, unfortunately, it's not the lesser of two evils. It's the better choice.
Okay. So. Ernesto, thank you very much for that. Appreciate it very much. All right. And then we've heard by email from Scott, Cain was a jerk and lost. My wife and other women I know hate Hillary and will be voting for Trump. Bernie got screwed. Okay? Just read that. All right. We're almost out of time, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank everybody who called in. But I particularly want to thank Susan from Kingston and Dave from Albany and Ed from Ackard and Andrea from Fort Plain and Amy from Deerfield and Jim from Albany, who did not make the cut today. And I do appreciate the fact that you've held on for as long as you have. But we are out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. And LARAC, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972 with gallery exhibits and a gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, LARAC.org. And STAML, stringed instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stamelstring.com. And Stories Nursery Freehold, New York, featuring a variety of mums, shrubs, and trees for fall planting and bulbs for spring. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by the excellent Susie Chekai. Our producer is Ray Graff, and by the way, he runs a tough show here. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.